This is the world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
Because of our troops and civilians.
Quebec is an incredibly divisive.
Every casino in Pennsylvania has a waiting list for jobs.
That included that we don't think that anybody in the room, the teacher, Kyle himself, or any of the others.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And truth is our 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL in the right arm of the Phil Hendry Show. PhilHendryShow.com, our website. Go over there and get yourself a backstage pass. Go get some.
Yeah, open up a can of backstage pass.
Right. And check out our live streaming video of the show tonight, and you could see me going ape again.
Yo, man, you are a hard-ass man on some people.
I beg your pardon?
I said you're hard-ass on people, man. Not every night going to go good.
It's true.
Oh, is that right? So I'm being a little hard on people?
Yeah, every night you think it's supposed to be a work of art or something, man, ain't going to happen. Getting all pissed off and everything.
You know, I didn't ask you to bring that up, okay?
Yeah, but then how come you're talking about yourself?
I just was talking to the star, right? Okay, so I'm a hard ass.
Yeah, and sometimes it ain't going to be perfect, man. Back off. Back way off, man.
Oh, well, okay, Robert, I'll back off. I wasn't even talking to you.
I know. But you got to understand something, man. People don't take so much.
Yeah, he's right. People don't take so much.
What are you going to do? You going to quit?
I ain't going to quit. But other people quit. You don't shut up.
Oh, listen to him.
He's right, man.
I got a right to talk to the staff, okay? And if I think something's wrong, then I'm going to say it's wrong.
Yeah, but every night, man, you think it's just supposed to be perfect.
I've been cool. I haven't flipped my lid in a long time. Okay? I don't think it has to be perfect every night, but I mean, there's just some stuff that I got to look at. You know, it would appear... And there are jobs sometimes that are like this, where you have to not only be the boss, but you also have to train people, educate people along the way. Haven't I taught you stuff?
Not really. Everything I know, I just osmosis, you know. I just sucked it in through my skin.
Yeah, like we suck it into our pores.
Oh, get out of here, your pores.
Yeah, man. It just gloms on me, man. I just kind of rub it on like Vaseline.
Yeah, I bet you rub it on like Vaseline. 877-876-PHIL. An old man gets tased by a Marin sheriff. I got to tell you something. I don't know why, but I just love these taser stories. What's wrong with me? There's something sick about me.
Pretty twisted.
But there is, and I think it's because every time somebody gets tased, they deserve it. Now, I know that we all want to believe, you know, that an old person, you know, that the poor old lady, like, remember the old lady in Texas or wherever that was?
That was like Oklahoma or something.
No, it wasn't. It was Texas.
Yeah, he's right. It is Texas.
Anyway, that old lady got tased after that cop told her about 58 times that she had to sign the ticket. He was going to take, you know, just do this, do that. And the people don't do what the cop says. Now, I know that it is probably a badge of courage for some people to tell a cop where to get off. Okay, fine. And I know that people get home at night and they say, you know, I told a cop off today. Well, you should have heard me tell that cop. Yeah, okay, sure. You know, every time I hear that, I never believe it. And so, you know, a lot of people want to wear that. They want to wear that on their sleeve and say, this is what I did today. I told that cop off. Well, that's fine, but you're never going to win. You don't win with a cop. There's two things that either, you know, you're going to go to jail or you're going to go to jail after getting your ass kicked. Or you're going to go to jail after being chased and you wreck your car. Something like that. Or you just sign the damn ticket and be on your way. Now, this is a kind of a screwy... because I'll tell you something else. If you don't do what the cop says, then if he does wind up being like an abusive cop, beating you up or under the color of authority doing something you shouldn't have done, at least you can say, I did what the guy said, you know.
Yeah, I did what the guy said and I wound up in a landfill.
Right, I did what the guy said and I... What do you mean wound up in a landfill?
Yeah.
That's what you get for watching that Klan thing last night.
Right.
All right. Man sues Marin sheriff after being tased at home. A Marin County man has filed suit against the Marin County Sheriff's Department for an incident in which he says law enforcement officers went too far. Peter McFarlane, age 64, was tasered inside his own home as his wife watched, laughing. Now, I'm sorry, she was begging officers to stop. That's not, I shouldn't have said that. All right, here is Peter McFarlane. He's tasered for resisting to comply with the commands of the officer. The audio is less than optimal because the source of the audio is from a camera that is mounted on the officer's taser. So here, and this is 45 seconds. Let's listen.
Stand up, turn around, and put your hands behind your back, or you're going to get tased. What the f*** are you doing in my house? I didn't ask you in my house. Get out of here. Sit down. Turn around, put your hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back.
My hands behind your back.
Put your hands behind your back. Confirm 26, we have one tape. All right. Stop resisting.
Wow.
What the guy doing, man?
Kept hitting with the taser. The guy kept resisting. I don't know what he was doing, but anyway, it was on June the 29th. So this is over a year ago. This is last summer, not this past summer, not this summer we're in, but last summer, June 29th, McFarlane and his wife Pearl were returning home from a charity fundraiser just before midnight. A charity fundraiser. They live in Marin, so they must have some, I would say, means at their disposal. Anyway, McFarlane injured himself as he stumbled and fell down the long steps to his front door. Wow. So his wife called paramedics, who helped him into the house and treated him. As the paramedics were leaving, two sheriff's deputies arrived. Now, why did two sheriff's deputies arrive? What happened in the following minutes was captured on a camera mounted on the deputy's taser. The deputy tells McFarlane that he's going to take him to the hospital for evaluation because he may be suicidal. McFarlane told paramedics, apparently, that if he had a gun, he'd shoot himself in the head. McFarlane says it was hyperbole, he was tired, and he was in pain. And that's believable. That's believable. Unfortunately, if you're a cop, you can't go by, that sounds believable, because if you don't go by the actual, letter of what the guy said, and he does wind up killing himself, next thing you know, you get sued, the police department gets sued. Anyway, it doesn't make any difference. You know, you're not going to win if you're a cop. All right, so anyway, McFarlane says it was hyperbole. He was tired and in pain. The deputy then ordered him numerous times to get up or else. Stand up, put your hands behind your back, or you're going to be tased, the deputy said. McFarlane kept refusing. You heard the exchange there. The exchange goes on for about 5 minutes. His wife keeps pleading with the deputies not to tase him, saying he has a heart condition. The reason why I'm laughing is this heart condition thing. You know, there's two things in the world that are supposed to be really dangerous, and there's two things in the world that just about everybody has had done to them. Waterboarding and tased.
Yeah, man, all a reporter do.
I mean, every reporter's been tased and every reporter's been waterboarded. And here's a guy, he's got a heart condition, huh? He got tased 3 times with that heart condition. It didn't kill him. I shouldn't laugh, but I am. I'm laughing. So anyway, McFarlane, after his wife said, please don't tase him, he's got a heart condition. Then McFarlane told the deputies in no uncertain terms to leave. Basically, probably get the F out of here, right?
Yeah, probably used a dirty word.
Yeah, I think he probably said F.
Okay, great. Thanks. We're all agreed on that?
Yeah.
Great. Jeez.
Well, I mean, you asked.
I assume that's what he said. Okay. Anyway, so McFarlane tells the deputies to shove it. He gets up to go to bed, and guess what? He's tased. So he's tased not once, but he's tased 3 times because, as you heard the cop, quit resisting is what the cop kept saying to him. Quit resisting. All right, so McFarlane's attorney had the following thing to say. His name is John Scott. He said, there's got to be a problem in terms of training and on supervising deputy sheriffs in the county. It's hard to imagine something so shocking could happen. McFarland says he never had any suicidal thoughts. In fact, he considers himself lucky to be alive because he survived pancreatic cancer, which is only a 4% survival rate. The attorney says his client was arrested, jailed, and charged with resisting arrest. The judge later dismissed the charge of resisting arrest. Scott says the deputies had no search warrant or legal reason to enter McFarland's home, and even if they thought he was drunk and suicidal, Scott says the tasing was excessive force. Channel 7 of San Francisco put in calls to Marin Sheriff, and they didn't hear a damn thing. So the guy is standing there. Suddenly, he's tased.
That's not the guy.
No, but that's a really good taser sound effect. And because the, look it, as we've said before, the cop tells you to do something. If you got to go to, if you got to go to the hospital because he thinks you're suicidal, you got to go. Because the cop is told he's got to do that. These are the new rules. You see, there's a county board of supervisors somewhere. There's a group of legislators somewhere. There's a citizens group someplace, right? And the citizens group and the legislators and the county board of supervisors and the special interest group said, you know, that man threatened to kill himself, but the police didn't take him seriously, and they left, and the man killed himself. From now on, if someone expresses a desire to kill himself, you must take them in mandatory evaluation at a hospital. Any police officer that doesn't do that, you will lose your job. Do you understand? Yes, sir. Okay. See, that's one more thing for you guys to write down in your little book of 9 billion rules that you got to remember and 85 billion laws that you got to know so that we don't get sued again. And guess what they did? They went by the book, and they're getting sued anyway. Because the guy resisted. He wouldn't come with them. So the city of San Francisco pay out to this guy, and, you know, he'd be a big hero. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, is a diet to blame for murder? Plus, which elected officials are the richest? We'll tell you next.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I was looking to see where it went, and here it is. Or I thought that this was it. This isn't it.
Don't tase me, bro!
Oh, God, that's loud. That was the don't tase me, bro.
Yeah, I gathered.
All right, 877, that was really loud. That's what we call a wave cart, man. 877-876-PHIL. And welcome back to our show here with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard as we go through our news hour now. And thank God we're out of our guest hour. Although Jay Santos, good job there, Jay. Hope you lived through it. Wealthy lawmakers increased their riches as economy sputtered in 09. Wealthy lawmakers increased their riches as economy sputtered in 09. Now, this is an example here, folks. And this is from The Hill, and this was written by Barbara Kim and Kevin Bogardis. And this is an example of an invented news story. Well, now, wait a minute, Phil. Isn't it news when lawmakers are making money even as the rest of the country is suffering? Maybe. Maybe it is, and maybe it isn't. Or maybe it's just two people, two writers for The Hill saying, boy, we really need a story. We need something explosive. Why don't we take a look at people who are elected representatives to Congress and how much money they make, and if they made any money during the very, very down year of 2009, then we can say there's something wrong with that. And that's the intimation. Is there something wrong with that? I would ask you reasonable people listening to me right now. If a guy's got money, even if he's an elected representative, is there something wrong with him making money while the rest of the country is not making money? It probably really irks the hell out of us, and we probably suspect that the guy's on the take. We probably think he is the most crooked bastard that ever walked. We can't possibly imagine that he made his money honestly. We, you know, all of those things. But the fact is, in my opinion, I can't start ripping on somebody for making money even when the economy's bad. I don't care what he does for a living. Yeah, but he's a rich guy. What's he doing running for Congress? Those are the only ones that can afford to run for Congress. You kidding? only guys that can afford. You know, it's funny how people talk about Obama. How did Obama get elected, and why did Obama this and why did Obama? You know, Obama, first of all, you got to have money to be president of the United States. Not you don't have to have money as an individual. You got to have money to get elected. You have to have money to fund a campaign. It's an expensive proposition becoming president of the United States. And the promises that you got to make, and the people whose hands you got to shake, and the cats that you got to go to get money. And I know it's something the American people don't really want to know anything about. As far as they're concerned, everything's supposed to be squeaky clean, and everything is just it's a mother goose fairy tale. Well, the truth is, what the truth is, it's an expensive thing to run for Congress, and rich people are the ones that seem to be able to afford to do it. And in a lot of ways, I suppose it was created that way. You know, there was a thinking or a thought process, I should say, at the beginning in this country that was shared by some, and it went something like this: people who are successful are automatically smarter or a more considered people. Why, they're successful, aren't they? So they must have an ability to solve problems, to think problems through, an ability to negotiate situations that the rest of us don't know much about. There literally was a thinking at the beginning of this country that perhaps we should just turn over the leadership of this country to people like that. That it wouldn't necessarily be a republic so much as it would be something along the lines of the Roman Senate, you know, where influential families ran or had an enormous amount of influence in the Roman Republic, right? I mean, that was being considered at the beginning of this nation's history. So maybe a little bit of that crap rubbed off, you know. Well, all right, we're not going to do that, but anybody that runs for office, let's make sure that they are people, let's make it good and expensive, you know, and see who is left standing. So who do you think the richest guy, and these are all senators, by the way, so when they say the wealthiest members of Congress, I'm assuming they meant to say the wealthiest members of the Senate, or maybe the wealthiest members of Congress are all senators, but here it is. The wealthiest guy in Congress is Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts, $188.6 million. Now, a lot of that bread is his wife's. I would probably venture the guess that much of the money that you're going to hear about here is the spouses, or at least in part the spouses. But one thing I want you to understand, whether this is significant or not, I don't know, but I think we'll make it significant. 7 of the 10 people you're going to hear of here are Democrats. So when they, I don't know, talk about the working man, so Kerry, a Democrat, $188 million. Number 2, Daryl Issa, Republican, $160 million. Number 3, Jane Harman, a Democrat, $152 million. She's a representative. Number 4, Jay Rockefeller, a Democrat, $83 million. Number 5, a representative, Michael McCaul, $73 million from Texas. Number 6, a senator, Mark Warner, a Democrat, $70 million. By the way, Michael McCaul is a Republican. Number 7, I said number 6, Mark Warner, $70 million, a Democrat from Virginia. Number 7, Jared Polis, a Democrat from Colorado, $56 million. Number 8, Vern Buchanan.
Sounds like a friendly guy.
Yeah, he sounds very friendly. Vern Buchanan, he's a Republican, $53 million. Number 9, Frank Lautenberg, a Democrat, $49 million. And number 10, Dianne Feinstein, a Democrat, $46 million. The wealthiest members of Congress grew richer in 2009, even as the economy struggled to recover from a deep recession. The 50 wealthiest lawmakers were worth about $1.4 billion in 2009, about $85 million more than 12 months earlier, according to the Hill's annual review of lawmakers' financial disclosure forms. John Kerry topping the list for the second year in a row. His minimum net worth was $188 million. Up by more than $20 million from 2008. While the economy struggled through a recession during much of 2009 and the nation's unemployment rate soared to 10%, the stock market rebounded, helping lawmakers with large investments. The S&P rose 500, the S&P 500 rather, rose by 28% in 2009. Total assets for the 50 wealthiest lawmakers in 2009 was $1.5 billion. That's actually a nearly $36 million drop from a year ago, but the lawmakers reduced their liabilities by even more, cutting their debts to $120 million.
I don't get it.
meaning they reduced what they owe by more than what it was that they lost, so they had a net gain.
Warren, oh, that's a load, man. I mean, those guys, they'll figure out a million different things.
Maybe they will, but that's just how that happened. The only newcomer to the top 10 list is Representative Michael McCaul from Texas, who came straight in at number 5. He replaced Harry Teague, the 10th wealthiest member. Teague fell off the top 50 list after the value of a company he has a stake in, Teco Energy, fell in value from $36 million to, what? $1 million? Wow. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. The Parrot Television Council next. Wow.
Phil Hendry.
Betsy.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on a Phil Hendry Show. Did you hear this, bud?
Yeah, it's a bad call to FU.
All right, well, this is CeeLo, and he says his F-bomb song is art, and the Parent Television Council, which sounds impressive, but in point of fact is a highly partisan, and there's nothing wrong with that, and I think they're ideologically informed as fundamentalist Christians, and there's nothing wrong with that either. But the reason why I've got a problem with the Parent Television Council weighing in on CeeLo, who is of marginal talent at best, and he's got a song called F.U., which is funny, but, you know, it's like it's funny because he drops the F-bomb 16 times in the song.
Ooh, I got some news for you. Ooh, I really hate your ass right now.
We'll get to it pretty soon here, folks. There it is. So it's F.U., right? Like 16 times?
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, the Parent Television Council, that sounds to me like an official group, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, that's what I thought it was.
It ain't no official group. It's a bunch of pain-in-the-ass people. These people had a problem with crap my dad says, right? They don't even say bleep my dad says, something like that. They had a problem with that because they were bleeping a word that was dirty. And if you bleep it, then people may be thinking it. If people are thinking it, then it's dirty, and the Parent Television Council... So what I'm saying is this: as we continue to put you on alert when it comes to news that isn't, the Parent Television Council made a big deal out of this song by this CeeLo, which if you listen to it here, it sucks. I mean, it's okay.
I really hate your ass right now.
Right, so anyway, there's CeeLo, and it's fine, and good for you, man. 3 million hits on YouTube, hey. But along comes the Parent Television Council. The reason why the Parent Television Council is weighing in is because this reporter from the Associated Press, Mesfin Fadaku or something, I can't even pronounce his name, Fekadu, sounds like a dessert or something they serve as an appetizer. Anyway, probably called him up and said, hey, Parent Television Council, I know you people hate all of this stuff. What do you think of this? Anyway, so this has gotten rave reviews. It's gotten, according to the writer, its fair share of criticism. Well, no, it hasn't. All it's gotten is criticism from a marginal group called the Parent Television Council. You see what I'm saying? What criticism has it gotten? It's gotten criticism from the Parent Television Council because they were called up and asked their opinion of the song by this jackass that writes for the Associated Press. So the headline could say, Bud Dickman doesn't like the F-bomb song.
Yeah.
That's because the guy called you up and asked you your opinion.
No, he didn't.
I'm saying if he did.
Well, yeah, but if he did, it wouldn't be a headline.
Will you listen to me for a minute? I'm saying if the guy called you up, it would be about as... What I'm saying is the Parent Television Council, Bud Dickman, there's no difference.
Oh, well, I'd say that's an insult to Bud Dickman.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, maybe it is an insult to Bud Dickman, but the fact is there's going to be a radio-friendly version. It's titled Forget You, Not F You, and there you go, man. Okay, so the Parent Television Council strikes again. Boy, you know, I tell you what, if people keep calling them up, it's come in for its fair share of criticism. That's the actual quote. And these are the only people that got a problem with it, the Parent Television Council. It ain't even TV, folks. The only people that have criticized it, the Parent Television Council, it's made up news. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It's made up. It's created out of whole cloth. It didn't exist as a controversy, and the Associated Press, because they have to get their stories into newspapers, decided to create a story so that it would be interesting. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not important. And I'm not saying it's not important because it's not important. It's not important because people don't care about it. Nobody's playing it on the radio. It's on YouTube. It's not over the air. It's not in our radios. It's not on our TV. It's not offending anyone of any great consequence other than the professional pains in the ass over there at the Parent Television Council. And they wouldn't have known about it. Called them.
Ficcati, I think.
Well, whatever. John Cusack calls for a satanic death of Fox News. Now, here's a guy that's got all kinds of imagination. No, he doesn't. Actor John Cusack went on a caustic Twitter rampage Sunday evening, attacking former House Majority Leader Dick Armey, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, and Fox News. Now, that's a shock. I am for a satanic death cult center at Fox News headquarters and outside the offices, or Dick Armey and Newt Gingrich and all the GOP welfare freaks, Cusack tweeted. Cusack, according to this story, has long been an outspoken about politics. What does that mean? He's been outspoken about politics. What, he's been writing stuff in crayon someplace? I mean, I am for satanic. Yes, he's long outspoken in politics. Mr. Cusack, what do you think? I are for satanic death cult. Yes, outspoken in politics, John Cusack. And while the U.S. Constitution protects Cusack's right to speak his mind, some critics say he should be more careful about what he says since he has more than 200,000 Twitter followers. Dr. Carol Lieberman, a Beverly Hills-based psychiatrist and author of Coping with Terrorism, Dreams Interrupted, his provocative tweets could easily incite a rabid fan to commit violent acts against Fox News headquarters and others he names. John Cusack, I guess, has a Twitter account? Is that it?
That's what they're saying, man.
So he's over there and he's just screaming and yelling. Okay. It's funny the stuff you see over there. Well, one of the things you do see on Twitter is you see a lot of folks that you may have seen in the movies, you know, or that you might have seen on television, and then you see their tweets, and
yeah, their tweets are nothing.
Yeah, a tweet don't match the talent.
Exactly, their tweets are nothing like their talent. Their talent is magnificent, but once you see the tweets,
yeah, it's disappointing.
The tweets are
far and away. The tweets are not the same as the talent of what they got.
Of what they am got, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, his provocative tweets could easily incite a rabid fan like myself, said Dr. Lieberman, to go out and commit violent acts. Oh, I'm just kidding, she said. Fans could not only be influenced because of their devotion to Cusack, their worship of the very man that he is and could be, and the talent that he was and might have been, but also because of their love for one of the characters he plays, she told Fox 11. I mean, Fox 411. I mean, Fox 411. I mean, anyway, Cooper Lawrence, the author of Cult of Celebrity. What character does John Cusack play that was psycho?
We played that one guy in High Fidelity.
Was he psycho?
Nah, not really.
Cooper Lawrence, the author of Cult of Celebrity, told Fox 411, the fear isn't that a celebrity will influence. All of a sudden, we got psychiatrists here. What is this, man? Anyway, he said, the fear isn't that a celebrity will influence someone to do something violent or out of character due to the sheer devotion of the celebrity. The fear is that someone who is already vulnerable, mentally disturbed, already considering something dangerous, may be encouraged to do so if it is advocated by their favorite star. So Cusack is writing this stuff because he saw Kirstie Alley do the same thing.
Yeah, so he's influenced by her.
Right. So Cusack is mentally unstable because he saw a tweet by John Mayer. Anyway.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, I'm kidding.
Are you just saying that he saw John Mayer tweet?
No, I'm joking. Yeah, that's right. Cusack is flipping his lid because he saw John Mayer or maybe Trent Reznor say something really nuts.
I bet, you know, Fred Durst.
I'm joking. Are you guys out of your minds?
You said Cusack is screwy.
Well, Cusack's screwy. There's no question. But he ain't so screwy that he saw something Trent Reznor tweeted and decided to act on it. That's beautiful. Anyway, Lawrence explained that while celebrities don't make healthy people do things they wouldn't normally do, you want to bet? Why, just the other night, I'm kidding, they could impact someone who is on the fence or mentally unstable, like me, Mr. Cusack.
Hey, wait a minute, what are you saying?
I'll tell you what I'm saying, bud. I've been on edge lately. Yeah. I've been on edge, and John Cusack has just given me an idea.
Hey, wait a minute, Phil. John Cusack, that's not a real, I mean, he's an actor, man. You can't take it serious.
I don't care. I gotta do something. I gotta do something to let off the pressure! And John Cusack has given me the answer, man. He's given me the way out. He's shown me the way forward.
Bull crap.
Anyway, John Cusack has to know that the words carry weight because he's an actor beloved by many generations of folks who may not get his humor and humor? Who may not get his humor? That's not humor. Maybe he thinks it is.
Well, yeah, that's what he means.
All right. Who may not get that he thinks that's funny and might think he is calling for something more sinister. The responsibility is on him to not abuse his fame to influence something negative on the off chance that even one person takes his words to heart, Lawrence said. All right, man. Well, I think that one thing we know, John Cusack is a liberal. Number two, John Cusack is on Twitter. And number three, his account is verified.
Bull crap.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. So there you go, man.
I wonder if John Cusack, if he's going to influence a man to kill nobody, though.
I don't think so, bud. You know, anybody that's influenced by John Cusack to go out and actually kill somebody is well, there's something wrong, you know. But then who am I to say? Because that guy, what's the guy's name that took a shot at Reagan?
Hinckley.
Hinckley, yeah. Hinckley was doing that because he said Jodie Foster told him, right?
No. He did it on account of, he said he wanted to save Jodie Foster on account of Taxi Driver.
Yeah, he's seen Jodie Foster get saved on Taxi Driver.
What are you guys talking about? I thought he said that he heard voice. Oh, I'm thinking of Son of Sam.
Yeah, get with it, man. Yeah.
What do you mean get with it? I don't know.
Yeah, John Hinckley was the guy that he was going to save Jodie Foster.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I remember now.
Yeah, man, and you're talking about Son of Sam.
No, yeah, that's right. All right. Well, what I'm saying then is the following thing. So that nut did that for Jodie Foster. So how do we know there isn't a nut out there that would do something for John Cusack?
Well, you think it'd be like a woman or something, like Squeaky, like that one person Squeaky?
Squeaky Fromm?
Yeah.
Nah. Squeaky Fromm did that for Manson. You know?
Oh, she was with Manson?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. She was with Manson. She was one of the people who killed the people, right?
No. Squeaky Fromm didn't kill anybody as far as they know. She was just some weird ass that hung out with Manson. And then she wanted to get some more publicity for Manson. So she followed, I think it was it Ford?
Yeah.
It was Gerald Ford. And she pulled a gun. I don't think she got a shot off. I can't remember now. But anyway, make a long story short, Squeaky did that for Manson, okay?
Yeah, what I mean, again, like a lady will do it for John Cusack, like Manson.
John Cusack ain't Manson. He's not sending people out to kill people.
Well, oh yeah? What did he say? He said that he wanted a death cult.
Yeah, but he's a jive at. He's some chump freaking actor on Twitter, man. He ain't out there. He ain't got no death cult. What do you think? He's living at Spawn Ranch or something?
Well, what do they do with Spawn Ranch, man?
Spawn Ranch don't even exist anymore. It's like a ball diamond up there or something. I went up there. I told you.
Yeah, what'd you see?
We went over to Spawn Ranch, where Spawn Ranch used to be.
Yeah.
We drove up there, and all I could tell is I think I saw where the buildings were. We walked down. And, you know, saw where the buildings were.
You went down to where the dead people was?
There's no dead people there, bud.
Ain't no dead people there, man. I'm talking about with the dead people the other place.
Yeah, but didn't they bury Shorty Shea?
Shorty Shea wasn't buried there. They found... Will you shut up for a minute? We went over there, man. At the point that I'm trying to make here, there ain't no Spawn Ranch. There's a baseball diamond. It looks like it's a really nice baseball diamond. It's kind of there. And then there's a bunch of places where the buildings might have been. You can kind of see where they might have been. And that's it. What are we talking about that for?
Because you're talking about John Cusack being Manson.
I never said that. You guys did. You're talking about the,
hey, I got something. Squeaky got off. She got one off.
Yeah, who'd she get off?
Not who she got off. She got off a shot, you jackball.
Well, he said it.
Oh, I meant the shot, man.
So Squeaky got off one round, huh?
Yeah, apparently.
Wow. Well, there you go, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Cusack.
Will you relax about Cusack? He ain't Charles Manson. He ain't going to start no cult. He's a whack. He's just a... You know what I think of John Cusack? He's a punk kid. That's what I think of him. He's some punk screwing around on Twitter. That's it. You know.
I don't know, man. But if Squeaky got one off...
No, she didn't get one off. I just saw the note here from Jason.
I thought it said she did.
She didn't. She didn't. She did not get a shot off. All right, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. God, John Cusack is Manson all of a sudden.
If he makes influential statements.
Yeah. Ooh.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil right. Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And through the looking glass we go. We got Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard with us here. That's the show I was talking about.
I'm talking about repossess a house.
Yeah, I can't stand that. I don't want to mention the name of it, but there's these infomercials on late at night. One of these things is, yeah, you can own a house too. We just repossessed it.
Yeah, but they got to do something with it.
I think it sucks. I think this whole thing sucks. I understand about deadbeats. I ain't talking about deadbeats now. I ain't talking about people that never could make the payment, bought the house and never could afford it. I'm talking about people that could afford it, and because of the recession suddenly lost income and now are finding themselves behind, and they were making their payments. Those are the ones I'm talking about. Those are the people that I was talking about when I said that banks like Chase, those blood-sucking mothers, throwing people out of their houses because this Obama mortgage aid program apparently has been nothing but fraud from beginning to end. Fraud. Yeah, yeah, sure. 50% of people that got into the program were helped. Isn't that something? And 50% said, you people, you know what? Goodbye. Later for you, man. I'd rather just let the house sit there. I'd rather burn it to the ground than have anything more to do with you. You're so fantastic. And then I turn on the TV. And here is, oh, these homes are going for like $2,000. I can't stand it, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, they got a right, though, to sell it off and everything.
I ain't saying they haven't got a right. I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you, I don't like it. Is that supposed to, what, am I supposed to be logical or something?
You gotta be logical about it.
No, I don't, man. I could be just as illogical as anybody else. You'd sit there and say, I don't like it. Wow, what opportunity can be had for you, man? Buy yourself a house that has been foreclosed on, the family thrown in the street. You can own yourself a house, El Cheaperino. Yeah, I know, it happens all the time. I know a lot of guys that make a lot of money at it. In fact, I knew a guy pretty well for a while. That's how he made his living, man.
What'd he do?
He hung around courthouses. If you're ready for this. He was partners with two other guys. And he hung around courthouses. And he tried to get the lowdown on what houses were being foreclosed on, or who was, you know, what judgments were going against people, and what was available, what properties were available. These guys, he and his partners, would make bids on these properties. I mean, this is how they made their living, you know?
Yeah, well, this guy's a friend of yours.
No, he wasn't a friend of mine. He was an acquaintance of mine. I knew him through people. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm just saying I don't think any guy like that would ever be a friend of mine.
Oh, that very judgmental. You know, a lot of people have a right to make a living the way they make a living. You know, you can't judge people.
Yes, I can judge people.
How can you judge people?
I can say whether I want to be their friend or not. Can I?
Yeah, but you don't know. The guy might have a good sense of humor.
Oh, I'll bet a cat like that's got a great sense of humor. I bet you he loves to laugh at the expense of other people all the time.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, get out of here, bud. The stuff that I do, people walk right into the bus here, man. What do you mean I do?
Well, you do, kind of.
This isn't about me, man. All I'm saying is, any guy that makes his living off of foreclosed properties I could never be friends with. I'm not saying the guy's a bad guy. I ain't saying that the guy shouldn't be in business. I'm not saying that he shouldn't have the right to do whatever the hell it is that he's doing. I wouldn't hang out with a guy like that.
Yeah, but you're being all judgmental and everything.
What are you guys? Is this a tag team? You cats are saying the same thing here.
Yeah, but well, you're not answering the question.
Yes, I did answer the question. Am I being judgmental? Yes, I'm being judgmental. Do I have a right to be judgmental? Yes, I do.
Why?
Because that's what you do when you make friends. Don't you judge people?
Not really. I mean, I say, I'll be your friend because I don't want to be judge you.
Oh, you're so full of crap. Your eyes are brown.
They're blue.
I don't mean it literally, you idiot.
Yeah, but how can you say that, man? A guy got to make a living.
He can make his living any way he wants. I'm telling you right now, Robert, and there's nothing you can say that'll change my mind. He can make his living any way he wants. I don't have to hang around with a cat like that, and I won't. Period. I'm not going to sit there and, what's the matter with you?
I don't know, you just, like, seem all pissed off and everything.
I ain't pissed off. You know what, I was going to do the story about Facebook is trying to trademark face, and then you could have done your joke about the face, you know.
Yeah.
But now it's too late. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rance, our technical director, Charles Wagon, and our associate producer and screener, Dan Northcraft, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com, BSP, today.
Phil Hendry.